material nature. Krishna Chakratakur titled this chapter of the fifth description of universal form. I think first time the second time it was described, I think two times, no? First chapter, second canto, first chapter, second canto. Third canto, sixth or seventh chapter was described, no? Universal form. And then now it's fifth description. So any questions so far before we proceed? अत ते संप्रवक्ष्यामि तत्वानां लक्षणं पृथक् यद्धृत्वा विमुच्येत पुरुषः प्राकृतैर्गुणैः. So here Kapila Dev said that now we'll describe the material elements. He said he is going to describe the Jnana Marga. That is the Devahuti asked about, she also inquired about the Jnana and the Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. So now Kapila Dev is describing the features of the elements. It's basically Sankhya Yoga. We're going to describe Sankhya Yoga, the different elements, 24 elements. And what is the result of that? By hearing that, yad viditva vimuchyeta purusha prakritair gunai. So by hearing, by knowing that, a person can become freed from the three modes of nature. About bhakti, jnana and yoga. What kind of bhakti is suitable to me? And also please describe about the jnana and yoga. So Kapila Dev already described about the path of bhakti. Now he is describing about the path of jnana. So Vishnu Chakratakur says that even persons engaged in bhakti, which reign supreme everywhere with authority, since without bhakti, karma, jnana and yoga cannot give results of swarga or liberation, should be inquisitive to know about karma, jnana and yoga. Even those who are engaged in bhakti, Krishna Chakratakura is saying that should be inquisitive to know about karma, jnana and yoga. So just to make a comparative analysis and to understand how bhakti is superior to other sadhus. So therefore jnana will be described. So Prabhupada says that Sankhya philosophy is especially meant for those who are conditioned by this material world. So he says that preliminary study of Bhakti Yoga is over. Now analytical study of devotional service will be explained. And the result of understanding Sankhya is that one can become freed from the modes of material nature. Next verse. Jnanam nishreya sartaya purushas yatma darshanam yadahur vanyat varna yetatte hridayat granti vedanam. Purushasya Atma Darshan. I will explain to you the knowledge of the Atma, Atma Darshanam. So here Atma refers to the Supreme Lord. I will explain to you the knowledge of the Atma, the Supreme Lord, Purusha. For what purpose? Nishreyasa Arthaya. For the purpose of Nishreyasa, for attaining the highest goal. And yad ahu means the wise people, they say why people say that this knowledge, what does it do? Hridaya granthi bedanam. It actually cuts the knot in the heart. So here Prabhupada again has written a very beautiful purport. He says, he especially focuses on this word Atma Darshanam and Hridaya Granthi Bedanam again and again. The rightly understanding, so Purushasya Atma Darshanam means basically he explains that one has to understand oneself. One should understand who we are. One has to understand one's spiritual position. Tameva viditva amrityam eti. Shvetasa Upanishad says that simply by understanding one's spiritual position or by seeing oneself as he is, what happens? Hridaya granthi bedanam. One can be freed from material entanglement. The same thing is explained in Shvetasavatara Upanishad, Tameva Viditva, is confirmed here by saying Purushasya Atma Darshanam. One has to see oneself and know what he is. Means he is an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. And this seeing can be done, seeing oneself means one has to see oneself by hearing from the authorities. By hearing from the proper authoritative source. Of course, he quotes Jivera Swarupai Krishna Renatheta. This position of rightly understanding oneself cuts the knot of material attraction, so they are granthi bedana. So, many of the long purports are there, many of the points may seem to be repetitive, but they are very repetition is always good. When one can cut the knot of attachment to the material world, his understanding is called a knowledge. Atma Darshanam means to see oneself by knowledge. Next verse.
Here also in Bhagavatam, previous verse you have mentioned that just by knowing we can cut off the knot, but sometimes it feels that we also come to know, but...
Yeah, of course it is implied that knowing means it also acting on that knowledge. That is why Prabhupada sometimes specifically mentions one should not simply knowing that I am Brahman, I am Aham Brahmasmi is not sufficient. One has to be engaged in the activities, service of Brahman.
So, serving and
When it is explained, Janma Karma Chamaya Divyam Yevam Yo Veti, simply knowing Krishna's birth and activities are spiritual, it implies that acting on that knowledge is understood. Otherwise, simply knowing the prescription for the disease, by that your disease will not go. So we have to actually take the medicine.
Anadiratma purusho nirguna prakrite paraha pratyatama svayam jyotir vishvam yena samanvitam.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a Supreme Source and he has no beginning. He is transcendental to the material world of nature and beyond the existence of the material world. He is perceivable everywhere because he is self-evident, and by his self-evident luster the entire creation is nature.
In this verse, Kapila Dev is describing the, although the word Atma is mentioned, is describing the Supreme Lord. So Atma can refer to the soul, mind, body, intelligence, or the Supreme Lord. So the different words in this verse, they actually describe the position of the Supreme Lord. Anadi, so Prabhupada is describing an elaborate purport, concentrating on, I can say that the five. He is taking about five themes in the purport. He is describing the five words of the verse. First, he explains the word anadi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning. If we examine all persons, we will find that everyone has a beginning. But the Lord is without beginning. Ishvara, sarva karana karana. The second paragraph, he talks about the word that He says that how the Lord is actually spirit, Atma. He is Atma, he is spirit, and therefore he is perceivable everywhere. He is perceivable everywhere.
So he says, in the case of a living entity is like a small light. Small light has actually influence only for a small distance. But the Supreme God is like a sunlight. It influences the entire universe. It is all pervading. That is the second theme which Prabhupada describes almost in the second and the third paragraph. The third paragraph, Prabhupada also takes up the theme that how life comes from matter is refuted. The existence of consciousness everywhere is not temporary, it is without beginning. And because it is without beginning, it is also without end. The theory that consciousness develops at a certain stage of material combination is not accepted here. So he is refuting. Understand how it is, how he is refuting? Because the Supreme Lord is anadi, without beginning. According to the scientists, they say consciousness came at a particular point when the matter combined together. So he is refuting that scientific theory with this verse. And he also quotes Vedanta Sutra says Janma Adhyasya. And then the third point, in the 72nd page, he takes up the third point, that is Nirguna. Nirguna Prakriti Para, both he combined. How he is actually transcendental to the material modes of nature. This is the third point, Nirguna Prakriti Para. And the fourth point, he explains the word Swayam Jyoti. How he is self-effulgent. So he quotes so many verses. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti natat vasayate suryo natashanko na pavakaha. There is no need of sunlight, moonlight, electricity. Even the Upanishads also confirm this. And he says that this self-illumination also contradicts the theory that the spirit soul or spiritual consciousness develops at a certain point in material combination. The term Swayam Jyoti indicates that there is no tinge of anything material or any material reaction. And then the fifth point he explains is that Vishvam Yena Samanvitam, the last line of the verse. Vishvam Yena Samanvitam means by his self-effulgent luster the entire creation is maintained. One is self-effulgent, he doesn't depend on some other effulgence. Another is the extent of the self-effulgence, the entire universe is maintained. So that is the fifth point. And further he again gives a practical experience of sunlight. Sunlight is actually reflected by the moon glow. Sun is situated in one place, but it is actually pervading the entire universe. Goloka Yevanivasa Akilatma Bhutu. So this was described as Supreme Love. Next verse. Sayesha Prakritim
Sukshmam
Daivim Gunamayim Vibhu Yadrishchaya Vayuho Pavagatam Abhya Padyata Leelaya.
As it passed by the Supreme Person of Godhead, the subtle material energy which is invested with three material modes of nature and which is related to Vishnu.
So this verse explains that how the Lord actually, as a pastime, this word is important, Leelaya. So Prabhupada like takes that Leelaya word and then he takes that word and then especially explains the next verse actually, next verse purpose. So by as a pastime, that means when you take about the pastime means what? The main feature of the pastime is that there is no force on his own, by his own sweet will he performs. He is not forced to perform that action. As a pastime, he actually glances upon Prakriti. Sa yesha Prakritim Sukshmam Dairim Gunamayim Vibhu. Vibhu means the powerful Lord. The powerful Lord.
he actually accepts the prakriti. He accepts the prakriti, which is actually gunamayim, which is composed of the guna, and sukshmam, it is subtle in state, and daivim, it actually belongs to the Lord. So these three words are actually adjectives to prakriti: sukshmam, daivim, and gunamayim. He accepts the prakriti, which is composed of the guna, subtle in state, and belongs to the Lord. And then yadrichaya, he contacted by his own will. Yadrichayavo upagatam. Upagatam means accepted. He accepted. Or abhyapadyata means accepted. As a pastime, the powerful Lord accepts prakriti. Yadrichaya, by his will. So why does he accept it? Because the Lord desires to create the universe for the sake of the living entities who are bound by karma. In order to give them a chance, the Lord accepts prakriti. That means he glances upon the prakriti. By that glance, he impregnates the prakriti with the jiva. So Prabhupada gives a beautiful analogy. He says that material energy acts in two ways. From the point of the Supreme Lord, it is an emanation from the Lord. It is created, but it belongs to the Lord. It is created by the Lord. And from the point of view of the living entity, the material energy covers the living entity. The simple example of a sun and a cloud. The clouds are created by the sun. It is the energy of the sun, from the point of view of the sun. But from the point of view of the living entity, the clouds actually cover the sun, cover the vision of the living entity. So the same example. So he quotes that what is the verse which says that the material energy stands behind the Supreme Lord? How does that verse start? Mayam chatat apashrayam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranigite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam cha tat apashrayam. Vyasadeva, in his vision, he saw that how the maya is standing behind the Lord. Any other verse? Vilajya manaya yasya hatum iksha pate muya. Mamaham iti durdiyah. So they speak vilajya manaya yasya hatum iksha pate muya. So this verse is actually the first kind of seventh chapter verse is quoted. So maya actually stands behind the Lord. Vimohita vikatante mamaham iti durdiyah. So next verse describes how the jiva gets bewildered. Gunair vichitra sujatim sarupa prakritim praja vilokya mamuhe sadhya saiga jnana gurvaya.
Divided into varati by her threefold mode, material nature created the form of living entities and living entities. Seeing this, our illusion by the knowledge of a feature of the illusory illusion.
So vilokya means seeing. When the living entity sees the prakriti, what does the prakriti do? The prakriti creates different bodies of the living entity. Prakriti creates different forms, varieties of forms. Gunair vichitra srijatim. It creates varieties of forms. Sa rupa, the prakriti creates different forms of living entities like himself. Similar to living entity, similar to itself. Then when the living entity sees the different forms of prakriti, mumuhe sadhya, he becomes immediately mumuhe, bewildered by jnana guhaya. Jnana guhaya means he becomes bewildered by avidya. He becomes bewildered by ignorance.
it becomes the knowledge covering piece of the illusory energy. So here Prabhupada again he writes that how the Lord is actually never bewildered by the never comes in the control of the illusory energy. The living entity only comes in the control of the illusory energy. So then he explains that what is the purpose of the creation of the material world. The purpose of the creation of the material world is to rectify the conditioned soul. So he comments on the word Leelaya here. Leelaya means for the pastimes of the Lord. That means the Lord wants to rectify the enjoying temperament of the conditioned souls. And for that purpose only the material world is created. And he gives the famous analogy of a prison house. The prison house, there is no necessity, but at the same time there is a necessity. There is no necessity, but at the same time there is a necessity. Similarly, there was no necessity to create this material world for the sufferings of the conditioned soul. But at the same time, there are certain living entities known as Nitya Bhatta who are eternally conditioned, and we say that they have been conditioned from time immemorial, because nobody can trace out when the living entity became rebellious against the supremacy of the Lord. In order to actually correct them. And then of course he comments on the word Mumuhe. Mumuhe means the living entity gets bewildered by the different bodies, different forms created by the material nature. Jnana Guhaya, again Guha means also covering. The knowledge of the minute conditioned soul is covered. So here Vishnu Chakravarti mentions one interesting comment which is worth noting. So he says, though the living entity is eternally connected with avidya, so when the universe was destroyed, after the universal annihilation takes place, the living entity simply sleeps in the body of Mahatma. So he says that during sleep, the living entity realizes the swarup a little bit. So in fact, it comes in other places also. There are four states of a living entity: waking, dream,
deep sleep,
and samadhi, transcendental. So it is said, during deep sleep, a living entity gets the happiness of Brahman. During deep sleep, a living entity gets the happiness of Brahman. To some extent. But the living entity forgets after it actually. I was hearing one Vaishnava, he was explaining that sometimes we hear the yogis, they would just sleep only for 3 hours, 4 hours, and they would be very fresh. How is it possible? Because when they would have a deep sleep, when they have 3 hours of just deep sleep, the living entity gets the happiness of Brahman. That means he is in contact with the Brahman. So therefore, that creates such a refreshment, although he sleeps only for a short time, and he is able to sustain. But that refreshes the living entity so much that a person is able to sustain even with a less amount of time. But sometimes we sleep for 7 hours, 8 hours, but still we feel tired actually. Because although we slept for 7 hours, but the amount of deep sleep was actually less. Many times we are dreaming, etc. So anyway, that's a different topic here. The living entity, when sleeping, he realizes the swarupa a little bit. So though the living entity is eternally connected with avidya, the jiva was in some realization of his swarupa at the time of destruction. When he was sleeping in the body of Mahavishnu, he realized the swarupa a little bit. But at the beginning of creation, after he wakes up, the living entity forgets that. Although he realized the swarupa during the deep sleep a little bit, he forgets that. So he creates the living being, so he forgets that.
and then when he actually again he wakes up, the living entity becomes attracted by the variety of the three gunas, and then he becomes bewildered by avidya. That is what is explained. The next verse. Evam parabhidyanena kartrutvam prakrute puman karma sukriya maneshu gunai atmani manyate. So which is a similar verse in the Gita? Prakrute kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvatana ahankara anudatma sattagunadi. The living entity thinks himself to be the doer of the activities. They are actually done by the guna. Para abhidhyana means he, by such identification one thinks himself the doer, kartrutvam. They are actually done by the guna. So this is also a verse, and also another verse in the 13th chapter of the Gita. 13th chapter. Prakrityaivacha karmani kriyamanani sarvachaha ya pashyati tadatmanam akartaram sa pashyati. So one who sees all the activities are performed by the material nature, by the body which is created by material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. So it is like a positive one, the 13.30. 3.27 is like a, like one who thinks himself to be the doer is like a foolish person. And of course 18th chapter also there is verse, one who thinks, without considering the five factors of action, one who thinks himself to be the doer, he is actually a blind person. 13.30. And 3.27, and also 18th chapter also there is a verse. One who thinks himself to be the doer instead of the five factors. So Prabhupada says, conditioned soul is like a man haunted by a ghost. A ghost actually, he thinks himself to be in control, but actually he is controlled by the ghost. Adhishthanam tatha karta is it? Yes, after that it comes.
After this one? Shariravan.
No, that was after that.
Tatraivam
sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuya pashyat akrita buddhitvam nasa pashyati durmatihi. That is also like similar. Tatraivam sati kartaram, one who thinks himself to be the doer without considering the other five, this one, such a person, atmanam kevalam tuya, thinks himself to be the only doer. Pashyat akrita buddhitvan asa pashyati durmati, is unintelligent and is a blind person. Next verse. Tadasya samskrutir bandha paratantriyam cha tatkrutam bhavatyakartur ishasya sakshino nivrutatmanaha. So the result of that misconception, result of thinking himself to be the doer, that is explained here. So especially three words are there. Samsmritir bandha, he gets into bondage. The second word is paratantriyam. Paratantriyam means it leads to self-created dependence on material enjoyment. Means a living entity identifies himself with the matter. He is a spirit soul, but he identifies himself with the matter. So therefore he feels that, oh, without the sense object, I cannot enjoy, I cannot get happiness. There is a self-created dependence on material enjoyment. Paratantriyam cha tatkritam. And then the third result is that basically repeated birth and death. Repeated, I think there is a samskruti only. Samskruti. Bandha is bondage, samskruti. Repeated birth and death. it leads to birth and death. Although he is the form of bliss, nirvritatmana means he has a form of bliss, but he actually, because of the misidentification, thinking himself to be the doer, he simply undergoes repeated birth and death. So Prabhupada highlights this point. The living entity is actually in the material consciousness, the conditions are enforced upon the living entity by the material energy. So he actually, he attacks the Mayavad philosophy. Mayavadi say that actually even the living entity, even like I think Srinath Ji Prabhu would tell that, he was back and forth argument between Srinath Ji Prabhu and Prabhupada. Srinath Ji Prabhu would go back to his Mayavadi guru, and then what the Mayavadi guru would answer, he would come and report it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada gave a counter argument, in that way it went on. So one of the argument that Mayavadi guru told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked that, if you are God, if you are the Supreme Brahman, you are the Supreme, then why are you going through old age, disease? Why are you having a white hair, etc.? That Mayavadi guru said, this is my pastime. This is my pastime. So Prabhupada is attacking that point. He says, this is the most dangerous interpretation. To say that the living entity who is acting under the force of his karma, under the force of the external energy, to consider those activities to be the pastime, that is the most dangerous misinterpretation by the Mayavadi. The word pastime implies employment in the activities of the Lord, but the Mayavadis misuse this word. So such pastimes of the Lord cannot be dragged to the level of the conditional activities of the living entity. In conditional life, the living entity actually remains as if he is captive in the hands of the material energy. He is simply a witness of the action. He is forced to act in that way due to his offense in his eternal relationship with Krishna. So therefore, the cause of suffering of jiva is his attachment to material nature. Next verse. Karya karana kartritve karanam prakritim viduhu bhoktritve tukha dukkhanam purusham prakrite param. Again, here in this verse, Prabhupada says, the cause of the living entity's actions is prakriti. That we can't perform actions without the senses, without the cooperation of the sense devatas, without the body, which are all supplied by the prakriti. The cause of the living entity's performing actions is the prakriti, but the cause of the results of our actions, happiness or distress, is the living entity himself. Because he is the primary doer, he desires to perform the activity. Or we can say the cause of the living entity's results is the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord awards the action, awards the results, happiness and distress. But of course, he awards the happiness and distress according to our actually karma, according to action. The living entity is the cause of the results. A similar verse in the Gita comes in. Where does it come? Exactly similar verse. The 13th chapter. Karye karana kartritve hetu prakriti ruchyate purusha sukha dukkana boktritve hetu ruchyate. Exactly similar verse. 13.21 or something. So again Prabhupada here, he takes this point of Leela. And that in this purport also, Lord versus a living entity. He says that Mayavadi philosophy's presentation, that the living entity enjoys his pastimes by accepting the body of a dog. This theory is not acceptable, because the word pastime implies voluntary acceptance for enjoyment. Therefore, this interpretation is most misleading. The Lord's pastimes and the conditioned souls acceptance of karmic creation are not on the same level. So here we can see, so far Kapila Dev, we can say, described about the difference between the living entity, the relationship between the living entity and the Prakriti. Of course, he also described the Supreme Lord also. So now Devakuti will ask, inquires more detail about Prakriti and the Supreme Lord. So previously she asked, in the previous chapter, she asked question about the Prakriti and the Jiva. Now in the next verse she asks question about the Prakriti and the Supreme Lord. Prakriti purushasyapi lakshanam purushottama bruhi karana yorasya sadasasya yadatmakam. So Prakriti Purushasya Api. Please tell me the characteristics, Lakshanam of Prakriti and the Supreme Lord. Bruhi Karana Yor Asya. Karana Yor. That means who is the cause of the universe. Sadasatya Adatmakam, which is composed of grass and subtle effects. Composed of grass and subtle effects. So she is addressing Kapila Dev by the word Purushottama, O Supreme Lord. Characters of the Supreme Lord and his energies are both these are the causes of the caste manifest and administer creation. So again Prabhupada attacks the Mayavad philosophy by saying that the relationship of the living entities with matter and that of the Supreme Lord with matter are certainly not on the same level, although the Mayavadis may interpret it in that way. The living entities with matter, living entity is actually controlled by the material energy, but the Supreme Lord is not controlled. In fact, the material energy is under the control of the Lord. So when it is said that the living entities are bewildered, the Mayavadi philosophers ascribe this bewilderment to the Supreme Lord, but that is not applicable. Next verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yattat Trigunam Avyaktam Nityam Sadasad Atmakam Pradhanam Prakritim Prahur Avishesham Visheshavat.
Supreme Personality of Godhead says, the unmanifested eternal combination of the three modes is the cause of the manifest state and is called Pradhan. It is called Prakriti when in the manifested state of existence.
So in this verse, Kapila Dev describes four characteristics of Prakriti. So you can just carefully hear. He uses basically three words. Prakriti, Pradhana and Avyakta. So these three words are used to describe the word Prakriti, material nature. So the four characteristics are, so the Prakriti is called as Avyakta. Avyakta means it is invisible. So this is the first characteristic, that it has an invisible state, because before the creation all the gunas are in a balanced state, they are in a mixture. So it is invisible to the living entity. In that sense it has an invisible state. So that is why it is called as avyakta, the unmanifest state, or it is called as invisible. So although the Prakriti, although it is having variety, but it has a state of invisibility when all the three gunas are in a balanced state or in a balance. So this is the first characteristic, it has an invisible state. And the second characteristic of Prakriti is that it is called as Pradhana. Pradhana means what? The chief. It is called as Pradhana, the chief, because it is the shelter of the different elements. Mahatattva, Ahankara, Sense Devatas, everything. It is the shelter of all these elements, so therefore it is called as pradana. This is the second characteristic of prakriti. And the third characteristic is that it is called as prakriti because sad asad atmakam, sad asad atmakam, it is the cause of other causes and effects. So sat refers to cause and asat refers to effect. The prakriti is the cause of other causes and effects. So when prakriti comes, mahatattva, mahatattva comes, the ahankara and the three modes, and they become the, from them comes the different distinct. So the same thing will be explained in this chapter also. So because it is the causes of all causes and effects, so therefore it is called as prakriti. And the fourth characteristic is that it is nityam, it is eternal. So because it remains as a final cause even after universal destruction. So these are the four characteristics of prakriti. Avyakta, it has an invisible state, and it is called as pradana, chief, because it is the shelter of all the elements like mahatattva. And third is, it is called as prakriti because it is the cause of all causes and effects. And fourth is, it is eternal, nityam. So these four characteristics of prakriti are explained in this verse. And three names are used: avyakta, pradana and prakriti. So Prabhupada in the purport, he also clarifies other things. He says that pradana is different from the Brahman stage, because in the Brahman stage there are no three modes. Brahman stage is without variegatedness and without differentiation. Because some impersonalists, they say that this pradana is same as Brahman. So it is the energy of Brahman, but it is not the Brahman stage. Because Brahman stage, there are no three modes. But the pradana or prakriti, it's actually, it has the three modes. And Prabhupada also explains that, he explains that the actual explanation of pradana is given here. When the cause and effect are not clearly manifested, that means invisible, avyakta, the reaction of the total elements does not take place. And that stage of material nature is called pradana. And then he says pradana is not the time element, because time element involves actions and reactions, creation and annihilation. But pradana is not the time element, because pradana is in the unmanifested, there are no actions involved. And pradana is not the jiva, because it's not the marginal potency or the living entity, because the designation of the living entities are not eternal, whereas pradana is eternal. The living entity can destroy his designation by his, destroy his karma, which leads to different designations. That is Prabhupada is explaining. So you see that the five topics of Gita, out of that four are eternal: prakriti, jiva, supreme lord and time. Therefore these four are eternal. The karma is temporary. That's what Prabhupada is saying, that the pradana is not the jiva, because the living entity's designation are not eternal. It can be destroyed. So now next verse. So now from 11th to 14th verse, Kapila Dev describes the products of pradana. Basically the 24 elements. The products of pradana, the 24 elements. What are the 24 elements? Five grass elements, five tanmatras, five working senses, five knowledge acquiring senses, 20. Yeah. Here he says the mind, intelligence, ahankara and chitta. So chitta is actually. So chitta is contaminated consciousness. Mahatattva is included in that. So these 24 elements are explained in the 11th to 14th verse.
we will go through this. Panchabhi panchabhir brahma chaturbhir dasha vistata eta chakru vimshatikam ganam pradanikam niduhu. Panchabhi, pancha, panchabir, panchabhi, 5, 5, chatur, 5 plus 5 plus 4, 14 plus dasabhi, 10, 24. That is chatur vimshatikam, 24. Then next verse, Mahabhutani panchaiva bhurapognirmarum nabaha tanmatrani cha tavanti gandadini matani me. So this verse describes the 5 grass elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And the five tanmatra, sense objects are also considered to be 5. Tanmatrani chatavanti, starting with smell, ganda adini. And next verse describes the 5 working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses. And the 14th verse describes the 4 elements, mind, intelligence, ego and chitta. Mano buddhir akankara chittam yityanta ratmakam chaturda lakshyate vedo vritya lakshana rupaya. Distinctions are made by the different distinctive functions, which will come later. Next, then the 25th element is the time factor, at the 15th verse. Etavaneva sankhyato brahmanasya gunasya sannivesho mayaprokto yakala pancha vimshatah.
All these are considered the qualities. All these are considered as qualified brahman. The mixing element, which is known as time, is counted as the 25th element.
So the 25th element is a time factor, and time has 2 functions. The first function is described in 16th verse, second function is described in the 17th verse. The first function is, he is the instigator of the living entity, that is the 16th verse. The second function is the instigator of the prakriti, at the 17th verse. Prabhavam paurusham prahu kalam ekeya tovayam ahankara vimudasya kartu prakriti neyusha.
The influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature.
So basically, time creates fear in the living entity. Who has contacted prakriti and who is bewildered by ego. That is why Prabhupada quotes that the cause of fear is that bhayam dvitiya abhinivesatasya ishad apetasya yes parayo smriti. The cause of fear is basically forgetting one's identity, identification of the body. The time creates only fear in the living entity who is bewildered by the ego, who is contacted prakriti. Only that living entity has forgotten his position. That's why Prabhupada quotes that bhayam dvitiya, that word. And then he also says that time is a representation of the Lord. Time reminds us that we must surrender to the Lord. So those people who do not want to accept Krishna's gentle love, they have to face Krishna's tough love in the form of time factor. Next verse, the time actually is a, Krishna Chakotha could say that time is described as the instigator of the jiva because he creates fear in jiva. And the next verse describes time as the instigator of prakriti. This is the second function of time, second description of time. Prakriti guna samyasya nirvisheshasya manavi shetayatasya bhagavan salayatyupa lakshitai. So only when the glance of the Supreme Lord is considered as time. When the time actually agitates the prakriti,
then actually the Prakriti comes in Mahatattva, everything starts. So therefore, time is the instigator of Prakriti. So before this instigation, before this agitation, everything was in a neutral state without interaction with the three modes of nature. And Prabhupada gives this analogy that simply Prakriti alone cannot actually give rise to the creation. It is like thinking that nipples on the neck of a goat will give milk. It appears like the nipples, but the nipples in the neck of a goat cannot give milk. So similarly, material nature appears to be to the material scientist to act and react in a wonderful manner, but in reality it cannot act without the agitator time, who is the representative of the Supreme Personality of God, which is the glands of the Supreme Love. So when time agitates the neutral state of material nature begins to produce varieties of manifestation. Next verse, just few verses will end. And then next verse describes Anta Purusha Rupena Kala Rupena Yopahi Samanve Tesa Satvanam Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. So here he says Anta and Bahi. The Supreme Lord internally acts as Paramatma and externally as a time for all beings. So by his energy, Atma Maya, the Supreme Lord acts internally as a Paramatma and externally as a time factor. Next verse. Daivat Subita Dharminyam Swasyam Yonau Parakuman Adatta Viryam Sasuta Mahat Tattvam Niranmayam.
After the Supreme Person of God is entering the material nature with his internal potency, material nature delivers the sum total of the cosmic benefit, cosmic intelligence, which is known as Niranmayam. This takes place in material nature when she is agitated by the destination of the conditioned soul.
So Krishna Chakrabarti mentioned in the previous verse, but for the 24 elements have been described, and then four more elements, that is living entity, the Supreme Lord, time and the Prakriti. So there are totally 28 elements. In this way, there are 24 products of Prakriti, and then when you add the products of Prakriti with time, Jiva, Lord and the Prakriti, then there are totally 28 elements. So now in the 19th verse is explained that the Supreme Lord impregnates the material nature with his internal potency. The Supreme Lord plays the living entities into the womb of Prakriti, whose gunas were agitated by time. And then when he places the living entities in the womb of Prakriti, then what Prakriti gives birth to? First thing which he gives birth is Mahat Tattva. And that Mahat Tattva is like a golden Mahat Tattvam Hiranmayam. It is very effulgent, like a gold. It has a brilliant effulgent. Hiranmaya means known as Hiranmaya, is very brilliant. So Prabhupada explains that same thing. The 14.4 Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya Mosaya Sambhavandriya Tasam Brahma Mahat Yonish Agam Bija Pradapita. That is also the same point is conveyed in this 14th chapter Gita. So last verse will take an end. And then this Mahat Tattva, which is like a golden egg, because it is so effulgent, it consumes the darkness of dissolution through its effulgence. It consumes the darkness of dissolution through its effulgence. That is explained in the 20th verse. Vishvam Atmagatam Yanjan Kutasto Jagadankuraha Svatejasapi Bhaktivram Atma Prakvapanam Tamaha.
First, after manifesting the negativeness, the effulgence which contains all the universes within itself, which is the root of all cosmic manifestations, and which is not destroyed at the time of annihilation, follows the darkness that covers the effulgence at the time of
the. So this Mahat Tattva, the characteristics of Mahat Tattva are described. It has a manifest, the entire universe within itself. It swallowed the darkness, swallowed up by its radiance, the intense darkness which had covered the universe since the time of destruction. So thus when the Mahat Tattva was created, it manifested the material ego and swallowed up the darkness which covered the cosmic manifestation at the time of dissolution. This idea can be further explained. A person at night remains inactive, covered by the darkness of night. But when he is awakened in the morning, the covering of night or the forgetfulness of the sleeping state disappears. Similarly, when the Mahat Tattva appears after the night of dissolution, the effulgence is manifested to exhibit the variegatedness of this material world. We will stop here. If anybody has any questions or comments, we will take others. Tomorrow morning will complete this time.
Tomorrow,
one class morning.